Blog Talk Radio.
You don't have to love me. You don't have to want me. Don't even have to spend time with me. You don't have to go and buy me things. Just listen now. When I stop to talk, it's good enough. I don't want your body, even though I think about it. It's your mind I want. I just wanna tell you about the things I do.
Thinking about magic, happen, action, baby, we never lasted. Magic, madness, maybe you was just guessing, but it was better than I imagined. Drastic, acting, baby, we was just practice. Sadness, masking, hated you with a passion. Petty, granted, baby, I didn't cap it, but it was better than I imagined. On his deep words, cause it hurts me, but still I can't see myself with no one else. Girl, it was better than I imagined. Better than I imagined. Trust me, love me, know I could never make you stay true. Hate to say it, but it's too late. My expectations, solo you can't relate to. Baby, but I don't blame you, baby. You're the one I always escape to. Stay too patient, maybe I'm just afraid to call you. Need you to tell me if it's okay too. Is it okay? I thought it'd be worse, cause it hurts me, but still I can't see myself with no one else. Girl, it was better than I imagined. Better than I imagined. Girl, it was better than I imagined. Better than I
get a flight. I lost my phone and I'm calling you from the hotel phone. I couldn't get a flight back to the States. I realize you're the only number I knew by heart. better than I could have ever imagined. I hope you're okay. Staying inside. I hope you're not lonely. Call again, maybe you'll answer.
Yeah. Good evening. Hope that this evening finds you in great, good spirits, positive energy, and a great mindset. Welcome to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is Fly Speak, done every first Tuesday of the month here on Epiphany Radio Universe. It is the feature open mic where we bring to you the best in open mic and some of the best features that you could possibly think of that you may or may not know of, based on the hidden show, which I do, one of many different things, but this is one of my favorites because it allows me to really bring to the listener some incredible poetry that you may not have on your radar, but you should and you will. It is actually pretty incredible. I am really like beside myself for this particular feature, because before I even know anything about them, I really enjoyed and loved their poetry. I thought that their poetry was really deep, like they were the poet's poet. And they knew how to craft a story. And then also the fact that they actually came to my side of town and actually wrote how I would write impressed me even more. And they're just a fantastic person, poet, and they're super humble. And there's, you know, there's not enough for me to really say about this particular poet in general. And, you know, I love, normally I do, you know, four or five people for features on a Fly Speak Open Night. If you know me and you've been following, you know this is something I normally do because I try to fit everybody in. But for tonight, I chose one feature because I am that impressed with their work. We're going to bring them on shortly. I'm going to tell you a few things about them. Some of this music, curated music, is because I asked them for soundtracks. As you know, that's my thing. We like to have that. We like to rock the music around here. We're a little friendly competition amongst the hosts of Epiphany. But they have a great taste in music. They have a great eye for art. And they're incredible people. And it's not every day that you get to meet someone who is a piece of collective greatness that, you know, is great within themselves and just walks around like they're normal human beings. It's kind of weird to me, but, you know, but their work is outstanding. And so let me just get to the announcements before I bring her in. We'll be doing the open mic. So if you're going to do the open mic, please press one because, you know, we're throwing the open micers in between each person. And it's going to be great. So let me first introduce our open micer, our feature for this evening. Tesno Muhammad is a visual artist, a writer, an educator whose work focuses on family, social justice, education, and the human condition. Her photography has been exhibited in various cities throughout the United States, and her writing has been published in Medium, Essence Magazine, at Sankofa.org, and in Crisis Magazine. Breathe in the Sky, Poems, Prayers, and Photographs will be published in the fall of 2021, which means it's coming, you got to cop the book. Hasna has also served as an English and a writing teacher, a high school principal. Hold on for a second. I didn't want the music to run out because I really love that song. Where was that? Okay. A high school principal, assistant superintendent for curriculum, instruction, and human resources. Hasna also taught executive leadership, diversity management, and community engagement at the graduate level as an advocate for education and justice. She currently provides professional preparation for individuals and organizations that focus on diversifying executive, educational, and political leadership forces. Hasna grew up in New Rochelle, New York, and now lives in Brewster, New York, where she and her husband raised three children. Hasna received her BA from Sarah Lawrence College, completed her MA and ADD at Teachers College, Columbia University. Hasna is also a 2018-2019 Schomburg Center for Research and Black Culture Fellow. She also runs Birthmark Media, and if you have not been to the Birthmark Media IG page, do yourself a favor. Number one, Google her. Number two, check out the IG page. Her eye is fantastic. So, good people, one and all, I want to introduce you to Hasna Muhammad. Hasna, are you there?
I am here. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm super fantastic. I'm really beside myself. I'm very thankful that you're here. I feel it is a great honor to have you on this particular show, which I think is one of the most fantastic things that can happen here. And I brought a few friends along to help me ask questions and do certain things and experience your work.
Cool.
So, you know, who I got, I have Angel Kim with me, of course. Angel Kim, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, beautiful?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for coming.
Always, always.
I brought my station manager, who's also a poet, a member of Hundrip, is a pretty fantastic guy himself, and he actually is the station manager here at Epiphany Radio Universe. His name is Van Meadows.
Hey, how are you?
I am phenomenal, Queen. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well. What an honor and a privilege.
Thanks.
I also brought along another one of our castmates, our radio mates, LaPearl La Negra from Philly, also in the building, of course.
How are you?
Hello, hello. It is an honor to meet you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm doing fine. I'm feeling good tonight. Nice and relaxed.
That's awesome.
And of course, this would not be complete unless we actually brought in the person responsible for this particular station, because it is a for-real entertainment network here at the Radio Universe. I like to call him Boss Man, but we know him as For Real the Poet. For Real, are you there?
What it do, what it do.
Hello.
Hello,
how
hello. How you doing, love?
I'm well, thanks. Doing good.
Thank you. What's up, my brother Mojave?
Hey, what's happening, boss man? What's going on?
Hey, man. Nothing but peace, love, and gravy.
That's what it is. You know, now we got to get the chicken and the pork chops. We good. All right. So, Hesna, one of the things I wanted to do, because I wanted to make sure that you're surrounded by good, these people, they promote super positive energy around me. I wanted to surround you with them. So you can have in there, and they're all fantastic people on top of that. They're all fantastic, right? And they're all poets and everything. So the first thing I really wanted to ask you before I ask you to read a piece is, as an artist, and I see, you know, to me, your caliber of artistry is exceedingly high. It's exceedingly high. What is the most difficult thing that you have to deal with when it comes to your art and establishing yourself?
The most difficult thing, first let me say thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for bringing in such positive people to join you and to keep the vibe up. I know my sister Nora's out there listening, and my two sisters, Pat, Pam, they're out there listening. I want to say, hey, I feel so surrounded by love, and I appreciate that. The most difficult thing, believe it or not, is my mind and my, you know, every once in a while you have self-doubt. There is an inspiration that comes to you, and creativity is the closest that you can get to being free. It's the most free that you can be, and the closest to the divine that you can come. And when you let that come into you and experience it and let it flow, it feels good, and you love what you're doing, and you love what you're creating. But then after a while, this little thing in the back of your mind sometimes kind of makes you question what you've done. And that's the most difficult thing, getting over your own self-doubt. You know, should I include it? Should I move it? Should I post it? Should I? And that's the most difficult thing for me as an artist. Relative to putting myself out there, it's also about crossing that line between personal and public, because I create my art originally for myself, you know, first and foremost, doing it because there's just something inside of me that makes me want to raise my camera or capture a view or tell a story. And then I have to make a decision about how public I go with it and what platforms that I might use. So For, let me give you an example. You, Angel Kim, and some of the other poets that we know from Clubhouse have really inspired me to ignite the erotic poetry. And something that was quite, you know, private that I never shared with others, and I need to know, I need to make decisions about where that line is between private and public. So the obstacle, you know how, you know, you are in your own way sometimes, no one can stop you but yourself, that's the difficulty that I have. I have to, like, tell myself, get out the way, girl, just put it out there, and everything will be all right. And, you know, most times that's okay. That's what happens. I put it out there, let it go, give it to the universe, and it's okay.
Amazing. So the one thing I wanted to ask you about being a Schomburg Fellow, what was the process like to become? That's a very, it's a high accolade and accord that someone would give to you. So, in them choosing you, what was the criteria that permitted them to choose you as a fellow?
Well, there is an application process, and in the application you have to show evidence of research-based project, and that research being something that might be found in the Schomburg, in the archives of the Schomburg. And I had to write a proposal. I had to have a topic that was relevant and something that reflected what the Schomburg represents, research in Black culture. So I think that I had a very good topic. It was a plan to do the research for a play that I was writing. And it's called The Killing of Kenneth Chamberlain. And it does lead me into my first piece, but I'll tell you that I wanted to do some research about the police killings of African-American men and military men for the most part. Kenneth Chamberlain was a 68-year-old Marine who was shot and killed in his own home by the White Plains, New York Police Department, and they mocked him for his service. They called him the N-word. They banged on his door, knocked his door down. He's 68 years old with COPD, and they knocked down his door. They tased him more than once. They shot him with beanbags, you know, the beanbag gun, and they say that he was aggressive enough and they felt threatened, so they shot him dead in his home. I wrote an article about it. I did, along with two of my colleagues, Patricia Holmes and Pamela Poitier, we did a video documentary, a short. And I also wanted to write a play. And so I went to the Schomburg and did the research there for that play. A few things happened that did not enable me to bring that play to fruition, at least not yet, the biggest of which was COVID. But there is a film that is out now. But anyway, going back to the Schomburg, that's what I had to do. I had to show evidence of the need for scholarly research that I could only find at the Schomburg. And many people apply, and I was one who was chosen. And I was very lucky to go into the Schomburg just about on a daily basis and be surrounded by such rich history and culture. And I was given a space along with the other fellows from that year, where I had an office and access to the archives and the stacks. And it was an amazing experience, one that I shall never forget. I feel very at home at the Schomburg. I have my legacy is reflected there. And the history of African American folks, especially in New York, is there as well. And I was surrounded by such information and wealth, a wealth of information. So that's what I did. And I was very lucky to have guidance from the Schomburg. They give you someone to work with, and you meet weekly, and there are other colleagues, and you talk about your work, and you share it, and you get ideas, and folks come away with published books or creating films, or in my case, a script for a play. And not too late for it to come to fruition, but I do tell the story in many other ways. But that's my experience at the Schomburg.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to open up for one question from one of our people who are surrounding us, if they want to ask, and then we'll get to the piece. So should we go? Ladies first. Angel Kim, do you have a question for Hesna?
I do. Hesna, I'm always one to know about the person themselves and where they come from. What was it like growing up in your household?
Oh, wow. It was, as my sister says, ordinary and extraordinary. I grew up in the house of Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee as one of their daughters, one of their three children. And we had a very rich family life. Family continues to be a very important component of my life and my life with my sister, my brother, my own family, our whole family. And we had regular experiences like chores and washing dishes and shining shoes and windows and raking leaves and shoveling snow and, you know, arguments and playing and all of that. But we also had the opportunity to be around some of the movers and shakers of the time, those folks in the civil rights movement of the 20th century. And not only the civil rights landscape, but also in the life of art, you know, writing, cinema, stage. And that created a rich mixture of experience. We were very grounded, you know, went to public schools. And like I said, there was no thinking that we, you know, were any different than anybody else. And we shared them, with the people. That's one of the things that my parents really honed in on, the people. And we shared them with the people. They talked to us about the people all of the time at the dinner table, breakfast table, what the problems were, you know, the poverty. And they asked us, like, well, what are you going to do about poverty? And it wasn't a rhetorical question. It was a real question that we each had to answer one by one. You know, there was a lack of African Americans behind the camera, behind the curtains. Plenty, you know, actors, but what about those behind? What are you going to do? And so they kept us very connected to the plight of the people, and we knew as much as they loved us, they loved the people too, and that translated to us. We, in turn, grew to love the people and to embrace the people as our brothers and sisters. And we wouldn't have it any other way. We had extended family, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather. My children at one time had a total of 5 grandparents in their lives. And so we had this lived, real, extended family, and that we value and made such an impression on us because, you know, you can have all kinds of relationships in your life and all kinds of things can happen within those relationships. But when you have a dynamic, a family dynamic, where even when you argue, even when there's a problem, you make a commitment to work it out. You know, it's like, I don't agree with you, or this is not right, or are you kidding me? But you sit down and you figure it out. And we're not, you know, closer than anybody else's family. We're not better than anybody else's family. But it is something that was really, remains prominent in our lives. So, Angel Kim, just going back to what my sister always says, it was quite ordinary and quite extraordinary. And I feel so blessed to have had, or to continue to have, the responsibility along with my brother and sister to continue the legacy and to maintain the types of values that I was brought up with, you know, in my family. That's it. Ordinary and extraordinary.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Super amazing. All right, so are we ready to do the piece that you spoke of?
I am, and I want to tell you that I wrote this last year in 2020 during the civil rights movement of the 21st century and all of the unrest that we experienced. And there were two things that kind of were nagging at me, as with many of you. Again, this has happened again. Like, when is this going to stop? What is it going to take? And it led me to the answer of education, which is another conversation we can have, education and justice, on another day. But it just brought me right back to the challenge of Mr. Chamberlain that I was talking about. He was killed in 2011, and they are still fighting for justice for Kenneth Chamberlain. And it just brought me right back to 2011 and what I did and what I wrote in 2015. I want to just say, you shared with the folks listening that I have a book of poetry coming out called Breathe in the Sky, Poems, Prayers, and Photographs. And it is supposed to come out in the fall. I've heard from my editor, I think it's going to come out in the spring, but I wanted to say that if anybody has access to their Twitter account, you can go to Birthmark Media 1 and see the images that are connected to the pieces that I'll be reading. So that's Twitter, Birthmark Media 1. And if you aren't able to get it, you can get the book and you'll see it there. Okay, this one is titled, I've been thinking. I've been thinking about this new era of the struggle, this same fight against inhumanity, injustice, and inequity, this same fight for the freedom to be. I've been thinking about the seemingly never-ending line of victims, martyrs, advocates, and activists throughout history who have fought, died, or who have been killed in this struggle, as well as those who have yet to do so. Calls for justice echo through generations of those who believed in freedom and did not rest. And despite revolts, protests, and videotapes, despite wins of Black and Africana Studies departments, diversity policies, Black History Month, and us telling our own stories, Black people are still being dehumanized, disregarded, and killed by socioeconomic and political diseases born out of racism, white supremacy, and militarized policing. Here we are again, another city of fire, another street corner memorial etched into the timeline, another life stolen from another grieving family, another name added to that list. Once again, racism lurks under the fingernails of the unsuspected and tracks in on the bottom of our shoes. Once again, racism hijacks the air between greed and humanity, where no one can breathe. We are afraid or too guilty to inhale, and we dare not exhale lest we think the violence against Black people is over when we know it is not. I've been thinking about the courage it took for Harriet Tubman to make her way on the Underground Railroad to free our people from enslavement. She kept running up and down the eastern seaboard while all around her bodies were being lynched and maimed and dismembered. She didn't slow down. She didn't stop. Ankles soaked in the blood of her brothers and sisters, she kept putting one foot in front of the other. I'm sure she got tired and hungry. I'm sure her fear was the kind that kept her alive. I doubt that she ever recovered from the trauma, if even she registered it as such. I've been thinking about the conviction it took for Mamie Till Mobley to display the bloated, murdered body of her 14-year-old son, Emmett, and more importantly, why we needed to look. I've been thinking about the mindset it took for James Baldwin to ask the essential question, what is it that makes white people feel that it is necessary, if not ordained, to subjugate Black people? So what will it take to decrease the power of race and increase the power of justice and peace? What will it take to affect the psyches of folks like those who participated in the Berlin Conference, a.k.a. the Scramble for Africa, a.k.a. the I Don't Give a Shit About You Black Folk Meeting? What will it take to reach the great-great-grands of the children pictured in the photographs and postcards of lynching? When can we discard all the barrier labels to which we adhere, those invisible distinctions reflected in the borders we build, the languages we speak, and the way we tie our hair or not? What will it take for the accountable to become accountable? I've been thinking about the time it will take to erase the fuck you nigger from the eyes of the police officers who murdered George Floyd. I'm thinking about the sensibility it will take to keep the door to Breonna Taylor's home closed, allow Ahmaud Arbery to finish his run, and enable Jake Bland to stand. I'm thinking about the insight it will take to answer honestly and the foresight it will take to rectify fully the answer to Mr. Baldwin's question. I've been thinking about what it will take to let love rule and change people's hearts and minds at the core. Certainly, it will take a few more generations for us as a people to reach a level of enlightenment where most of us acknowledge in our hearts that racism is a societal mental health disease and spiritual deficit that affects victims and perpetrators in every phase of identity expression throughout every facet of society. Certainly, it will take a few more generations for racism to be eradicated, extricated from our collective consciousness. For that, I am holding my breath and hoping with dry eyes and a cautious heart. For now, though, I'm thinking that every station in this struggle is a front, and every person is a general. I'm thinking that if we each take one Harriet step at a time from wherever we are, doing whatever we do in this struggle, if we each hold our hearts together, place ourselves in power, keep Ella's song in our minds and love on our tongues, then our affirmations gradually will become truer
than our reputation. Compassion ultimately will outweigh evil, and humanism finally will obliterate racism. I'm thinking then, aha, then this madness will stop. Thank you.
I'll give you a definite round of applause.
Okay.
Our fingers.
Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
The image that is showing on Twitter is the image of a vigil that we had at Grand Central Station in 2015 about this madness. And then you'll see, if you're able to see it, Kenneth.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm blowing it up where they have the they're marching. They have the signs of Kenneth Chamberlain, Dante Scott, against state tyranny, Akai Gurley, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's crazy because I read an article, read a thing from Sean King. Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Where he wrote about the person who shot. Matter of fact, I'll have to pull it from the Instagram. So it's just loading right now. It's just a little slow. I got a lot of stuff going on in the laptop right now. So it's loading real slow. But there was a former military person that shot and killed four people, including a mother and her baby. And the police managed to take him under, even after he tried to take their guns and their weapons and everything from them, he managed to be arrested without incident or harm.
Wow.
Without incident, he killed four people, including a mother and her baby, randomly. Mm-hmm. And they managed to take him in with no harm done to him, meaning they are in possession of the ability to de-escalate, to isolate, and take people into custody. But for us as black men, going through this whole thing and seeing the stuff that's happening, even how people, they escalate situations with certain things. Like there was another case I was watching where they had to pay $75,000, and literally because the guy was like, "You're being aggressive." He's like, "I'm not being aggressive." He's like, "I'm literally not being aggressive." And he put the cuffs on him and told them that they had a gun, told them that they had shake in their car, told them that they had a bunch of things. And they had to, so, you know, and that same officer was like, literally, it's known for racial profiling. And so when we're looking at the stuff that's happening, when we're seeing black men literally being shot and killed for nothing, you know, it has to do with everything. So the piece means everything to me. I you know, we'll take up comments if anybody else wants to make comments before we move on, because we do have to run the open mic at the same time. so anybody
and
else
I
have anything
wanna,
that they'd like to come out? Huh? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say that the short that was done is on my website, and that's Birthmark Media, and you can go to Kenneth Chamber. I think it's in the stories section, and it's 7.5 minutes, a little less than 7.5 minutes, and it shows the uses the footage and the sound of what was actually going on at the time. You hear, because the life alert went off by mistake, and so they were recording, and you could hear the police officers banging on the door, calling him all kinds of names. It was crazy. And then there's also, you know, a movie coming out about it, but which uses a piece of my documentary as well. But yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. Well, and if he had COPD, my mother has COPD in the fourth stage. She is not. You are not moving. You are not moving fast. You cannot be aggressive with COPD. You cannot.
Yeah.
There's no possible way that they could say that he was being aggressive towards him. And then they shot him with beam.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we move into the first portion of this open mic? Anyone else? All right.
Hello?
So, yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, I just want to thank my sister for delivering that piece. That piece was definitely relatable. And as she was spitting that piece, man, I just want to say she gave me a road traveled, man, by many of us as a people. And it was like being a part of a video, the way it touched me. And, you know, I'm already woke, but it felt like it just reawakened something, in me. You know, I thought that was a really profound piece, my sister. And I want to thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, definitely. So as we're going to move into this, we're going to return to you. We're going to do a couple of open micers. And we'll return back to you and, you know, ask you some more questions. So we're going to start out from tippity top and see if Angel Kim, do you have a piece you'd like to share? Hello, Angel? All right, then we'll just move forward to La Perla Negra, Danielle.
Yeah, now that I've heard her do her piece, I want to do one of my conscious pieces, but I'm gonna do this piece I wrote earlier. It's called No Direction for Careless Whisper.
Okay, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I would smile for you, but my heart is broken. And my tears make my hands too slippery to gather and hold pieces to put it back together. I can still breathe, but I can't see where to go or who to reach for, because when you used to tell me that nothing felt more like home to you than my heart, I was safe. So you just tossed me to the wolves and vacated it. I have no guidance. You once asked me, how do you go back to being strangers with one who's seen your soul? I didn't have an answer then. Now I know it is impossible. But what I need to know is, how do you find your smile after the one who just makes you smile for no reason when you look at them? Take all your tender kisses and turn them into careless whispers. Now I can't breathe because I'm drowning in tears that I have no choice but to tend to. You once gave my meager existence such life. Everything was clear. And now my own heart doesn't even recognize me. So every day I'll cry until I don't want to cry anymore. I would smile for you, but my heart is broken. At peace.
What's up? Let's give a round of applause for Danielle.
Absolutely.
La Perla Negra.
La Perla Negra.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now we're going to move on to Mrs. Station Manager, Poetic, a.k.a. Van Meadows. Do you have a piece for us, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called While You Breathe. What have you learned as another century has turned? Your birthright is still calling your name, waiting to be claimed. It's apparent you forgot who you are. You're more than a shining star, brighter than the moon, and soon your halo will represent your glow. While you're battling inner demons, the war creates a battlefield filled with lemons, that somewhere along the strategic, tactical planning phases, your growth made lemonade at each stage of your transformation, your poise and dedication to the commitment of how to inspire and be a walking, breathing example of motivation so others can thrive in completeness. And by the power of your aurora persuasion, you have compelled the others to behold and release the brokenness of their trapped soul to become this uniquely awesome individual ready to conquer fear and doubt and create this residual effect of growth, potential reciprocation, just waiting to be stirred up with more attainable dreams and desires for provocation, just so the world can be reborn from a power residing within you. So don't be torn. It's because of your growth, transformation, motivation, and completeness that I stand here to give you your flowers while you breathe and not breathless. And that's that piece.
Wow. All right.
All right. All right. We're going to go to C34 Music.
Hello, everybody, and your special guest, Ms. Hanza Muhammad. I really felt like I was watching PBS back in the day where they had Soul, Tony Brown's Journal. Your voice and your vibe, it fits it. And it just reminded me of it, of the power. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, C-double is yours. Mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called The Micro Manager Mirror. Let me lead. I get that you have your ways of doing things. They have seemed to work for you, but this armor you want me to wear doesn't fit, and it's so cumbersome. Let me lead. There's no freedom here. I find it very difficult to breathe in this space. So diminutive as you look over my shoulders, correcting my every move, let me lead. I promise not to cause harm or damage. I will be responsible for my mess and I will clean, not like you, because really, who says your way is always right? Oh yeah, I forgot who I was talking to. Let me lead. Listen, hear me. The more you say in these attempts to get it all out drowns out the chance to be intimate with what I feel. Stop disrespecting my emotions, especially when I take yours to heart. Let me lead. I'm not your child, and even if I was, when will you let me grow up? When will you show me your trust? Because truthfully, you don't. Let me lead. And don't be offended when I say I've got this. Don't deny my confidence and don't lock me into boxes of prison walls closing in. How can I truly lead by God's example with you in my ears? Let me lead. And yes, when I say I got this, it is to shut you up, never shut you down. I need you to be patient. I need you not to worry and carry files of every loss I have accrued. Look again at my record, a winning percentage. So let me lead. Or I can never be the best me because of your requirements. Ain't you tired of being repetitive? Oh, my grammar is a mistake. I'm sorry you feel that way. Honestly, let me be real. Can you accept me as the leader God calls me to be? Even though you see it differently than I, I'm not you, and what we have won't work if you micromanage and won't let me lead. Since I'm not doing it as what you call right, do it your damn self. Well, I'm in the doghouse now. In peace.
Let's give it up for C34 Music. All right. And we're going to round this out with the boss man himself, for real. Douglas. Thank you. For real, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And so in between, everybody, you can mute your mic so that we're not picking up background noises, because we were picking up background noises. I should have said that earlier. But just mute your mics on your phone, and then, you know, and then when the person is done with the PC, you can come back in. All right?
Thank you.
All right, for real, the mic is yours.
Thank you. The title of this piece is Someday. Someday. Just one day free from bullshit. Just one day. One day. If we can add one day to the week and call it Someday, maybe it could follow Sunday. And maybe that day we could be free on that day. Yes, to go to sleep on Sunday and wake up someday, free from the things that keep us from dreaming, that dream of living a life that's fulfilling, and not just for some, but someday, free from the nightmares caused by racism, free from the plots and the hidden poisons, free from the memories of 40 years of Tuskegee without inoculations, free from the delusion of inclusion. It's all an illusion. And that fake baby kissing from the lips that spew division. We had Hitler running for president. Free from the new branding, that new branding that labeled us as felons. Sidebar. They brought us here over waters that were deeper. On a good ship, Jesus, they seized us. From overseas, they see us. They see us not as human beings, but as King Kong and Mighty Joe Young. See, that's bananas. But that's how they see us. Some claim to hear us and feel us, but that's neither here nor there, because they're still killing us. So on this good ship, Jesus, in the God they trust, they shackled us, imprisoned us. Fuck these gutless mother effers. Motherfuckers, they've been killing us, and at the same time force-feeding us their godless poisons. Religion. Oh, I'm trying not to take my socks off. Oh, but one day, maybe the day after Sunday, someday, I digress. Back to the piece I first started. Free from the modern-day slavery and private-owned prisons. Free to eat like wealthy do. Free from GMOs and toxins.
Did we lose them? For real?
No, I hope his call didn't drop. Oh, yeah.
No, it's showing that he's still here, but... showing that he's still here. I'll try to hit him back channel. In the meantime, in between time, we'll go over to area code 251. Area code 251, Madison speaking. Welcome to Fly Speak. Hello? Area code 251? Hello? 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 Can anybody else hear me? Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can hear you.
That's weird. Area code 251, are you there? All right. Well, Hesna, we're going to return to you a piece from you. What is your next piece that you'd like to share with us?
The next piece, you know, I said the book of poetry is poems, prayers, and photographs, and this one is one of the prayers, and it's called Peace, Love, Light, Honor, and Respect. And again, there is an image on my Twitter, Birthmark Media 1, and you will see it's a fistful of crystal that my
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, after my mother passed away, you know, we were clearing the house, and in the garage we found this fistful of crystals, and that's the photograph of those crystals. Okay. Peace,
love, light, honor, and respect. The vibrations that I feel this morning, the aura that encases me, protects me, guides me, opens me this morning, transitions me into this season. My mouth holds dear like diamonds on my tongue, the light from which my chariot is made. Joy threads golden through my heart, drops me to my knees with fists of crystal to the sun. I bow down, humbled by the warmth and the connection to the birds singing their work song of liberation and sisterhood. Time for a new journey, they say. A clear new beginning amidst the soil, the grass, the stone, the snow. There will be motion. There will be change in places, in meaning and outcome. Causes will affect, and one footstep in front of the other will become a marathon of blind trust, faith in forgiveness and the everlasting sky. Peace, love, light, honor, and respect. This morning's rainbow drips down, seeps in, settles deep, and coats my bones where I know it will stay for as long as I breathe, for as long as I believe and promise to give it back in multitudes of gratitude for blessings unbound, connections unsevered, deeds unwasted, peace, love, light, honor, and respect, the offering accepted, the charge claimed, held close amidst the soil, sun, stone, grass that clings to the crystal and enters this morning, transforms this morning without boundaries or limits, containers or weight. Light as the breath that carries these words that are merely passing through. I let go this morning. I do not own. I do not hold. I dare not touch. Just accept the coming and going, the presence of peace, love, light, honor, and respect. Inhale. Exhale, and it is. Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So a quick question. With anything, the whole time, which is funny, I know we had a conversation about it, and like I was in shock because I didn't know, like, you know, I just really liked you as a poet. I was like, oh, she's a super dope poet, and I was like, I went to you, I was like, wait a second, I was like, looking at the thing, and I was like, looking at a picture of you next to Ruby D, and he was like, hey, me and mom, I was like, mom. And then when I called you, I know this sounded real goofy, but when I called you, what were you thinking when I called you? Really bewildered. Like, I was really like, what?
Yeah, you know, that's a phenomenon that children of prominent people go through all their lives. And as much as we try to, you know, separate ourselves, you know, as growing up as teenagers, one of the natural things that young folk do is to separate from their parents, and they have this independent identities, et cetera. And so we go through these things, this process of becoming independent, but we always have this legacy. And sometimes we don't know what to do with it, you know, where it fits in our lives. And I have come to learn over time that this legacy is a part of me, and that where I am, who I am, will always reflect that legacy. So it just sits well with me
now. And again, it takes time to figure out where to put it. You know, do I put it in my back pocket today? Do I wear it in my sleeve? Is it on my forehead? You know, so I think our relationship, you know, through Clubhouse and just talking, just made it a casual kind of matter-of-fact thing. And you were so genuine in your admiration for Mom and Dad, and we appreciate that. And that is part of carrying a legacy, to accept the admiration and love that other people have for our parents. That is a part of that process. And you were so genuine, and you know, you had the story about the recitation of the eulogy that Dad wrote for Malcolm X. And I resonated with that because I was, you know, I remember walking into the office when he was writing it. And so it's something that, like I said, it is a part of carrying a legacy that you learn to wear. And I'm in a place in my life right now where it's settling in and feeling fine. And it's a part of me, just like anything else is a part of me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because literally, like, for one of the organizations I belong to, you know, I told you, like, that was one of the things we had to know, that back and forth and to and fro. And, you know, that was our creed. Like, we literally adapted that as our creed. And so, to me, like, I was in shock because, you know, being in the Clubhouse environment, you know, like, there's another person who has a famous person for a dad. And every 5 minutes, that person, you know, I'm not even trying to get on them or get at them, but they're always talking about their parent. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. Can you just do the poem, please? You know, can you get to the poem? You know, can we, you know, I understand there might be something going on, but can you do the poem? And so for me, I already had a super healthy respect for your poetry. Like, I was like, wow. I was like, she's super dope. Look at, you know, how she crafts, you know, the way she writes, you know. And so it was even, you know, I felt very humbled that you would come over and write erotic with us and share that with us, you know. So, I mean, because I think me and Angel Kim was in the room, and I was like, did you hear that? No, Angel's here. I was like, Angel, did you hear that? I was like, yo, this is great, you know, because it was so unexpected because, you know, because of your high level of professorial, you know, attainment. You know, you were like, yeah, I'm writing this poem because of you guys. I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Eroticism is everywhere, alive and well. I'm not reading it tonight. I'm saving that for another time.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. That's perfectly fine.
You can come on the love zone and read it.
I'm going to be reading it. I'm going to be reading with Angel Kim on September 24th. 7th, I think, and that's where I'm going to share it. Come on in that room. Angel Kim, you can tell everybody how to go to get there and when and all that stuff. But that's what I'm going to do.
We'll definitely get to that. And so we're gonna do a couple more upper micers while in between, and then we're gonna ask you some more questions. We're going to go to area code 251. Hopefully you're there. 251, can you hear us? Area code 251, can you hear us? Okay, area 251 going once, going twice. All right, we're going to put you back in the queue. I believe this is Sir Lawrence. Sir Lawrence, are you there?
Yes, sir. Ready.
Ah, Sir Lawrence. Yes, do you have a poem or a question to ask our esteemed guest?
I don't necessarily have a question, but I want to go ahead and it's Miss Muhammad. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to commend you. That's a pretty strong spectrum. I mean, you're covering both ends, you know, from the word to the visual, you know, with the photography and everything. That's pretty. And may all your talents take you where you need to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Sir Lawrence, do you have a piece for us?
Actually, I do.
Okay, well, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Are we ourselves? We are asking for a change, but in our minds, we are still the same. It's like cleaning the floor with a dirty broom. Accepting a change makes me ask the question, are we ourselves? Black Lives Matter, but who's running that show? There are so many other lives involved, Black Lives seems to be the only ones taken. Like watching television, the laser attack, as we watch more TV than any other thing. And that's a fact. Are we ourselves? Looking at a white Jesus has a subconscious effect. You say, what difference does it make? I'm not looking at color. But at the same time, you always have an apologetic plea. Let me explain myself to thee. Speaking from an inferior position, are we ourselves? We came here equipped with it all. Our hair patterned after the universe, it defies gravity while serving as an antenna. But it's not good hair. We have the ability to see the spectrum of colors in their true shade, but wonder, what do they see when they look at me? Our skin can split the light coming from the sun, blocking what we don't need and filtering what our bodies use. They saw this and called it vitamin D, so as to start the dairy industry. Then they're suffering from not liking the skin you're in, conditioned from the white dog, the skin bleaching, pre-program on constant reboot, not accepting a future because the past, the present, keeps becoming our past. Are we ourselves? Continually refusing treatments for cognitive dissonance, like using our own words in reverse power. They don't seem to have a memory of when they were slaves. But photography has been around since 1826, and not one photo of you coming off of a slave ship. It's like having the belief you still haven't checked. Are we ourselves? We are the most beautiful people. Why else would anyone go through this much trouble to make us believe we're not? Time is running out. Do we have any type of industry? The line has been drawn. We need to know, are we ourselves? Sir Lawrence.
Y'all give it up for Sir Lawrence.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're back on schedule. Hasna, are you there?
I am here. Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure we got you. We're going to make sure we got you. All right. So we're going to go over to area code 443. Just waiting for area
Yo,
code
hello?
443. Hello?
Yeah, hello. Is it saying?
Jonesy. Yeah, Jonesy. What's going on? All right. Do you have something to say to Hasna?
Yeah.
What's going on? Everything. I'm sorry. I was late to the call. From what I did pick up, you know, you're an amazing person, and be honored to give you this piece.
Thank you.
This piece right here is called Drip.
Mm-hmm.
said, hey, yo.
Drip, drip, drip. Hey, since shoot or shoot, this is a time to reflect. That night in Charlotte's web, I had her spider senses tingling. All that I'm bringing, that B&B, that's drinks and dick I'm slinging. I got you bringing friends to the clubhouse, girl. You gotta stop pinging. I'm a honey-dripping demon. She's drinking soul tie semen. The open mic cleaning. It's amazing, and I mean it. Until we BDSM and I start the meaning. I'm thinking I can get ecstasy when I see your soul leaving. But I ain't say you can come, and now look, we're both committing treason. Off season, in between rounds, but I love carnival rides. Not to mention that Bermuda Triangle in between those thighs. The rising tide, I keep swimming to the eye. Just take my time. I check the line, and with each stroke of my tongue louder, you telling me it's mine. But not yet. It's only when you get this nine. This sex, it's poetry. Intimacy made it cry. You and I've been onto something, and I realize I'm invested. I've been vetted and respected like Bruce Wayne. I've been knocked your insides around like loose change. Then the eye contact, I bet we would lose things. Deeper, deeper. And now who run tendons? I then start speed bagging, licking that hop clean, cause I can't bear to let this go to waste, because it's not there to. Just the way I prepared you for this extraction. Give me that nectar. Baby, I love being in your wax, blowing out your back, and then while you'd be shaking with the run of your hand, I'm wondering where the light is at. As a matter of fact, we don't need a script for this act. Legs on shoulders, racks, hourglass body, natural. I mean, she's stacked, but let me bring it back. Remember that dripping sound of my sweet honey mixing in the second round of B&B? I'm double dipping, dicking. With each time I started stroking, breathless tones and track number 6. I wouldn't have it any different. Second time in it, bottled essentials start spinning. There's a bit of me there, but do you mind if I kiss it, lick it? Cause I'm triggered and activated from the sound of you dripping. Now you're talking my language. Now you're talking my language. Drip, drip, drip.
So we definitely had to have Jonesy come through. There's always one in every group.
Okay,
Jonesy had to be
hotness. Yeah.
Dope poll. Dope poll. Don't
time,
know if it's appropriate to dedicate that one, but good poll. Good poll.
No.
Don't
yeah,
know if it was dedicated.
Listen, I just thought I'd come in here and put my, you know, mask up, you know what I'm saying? Hey, hello.
Yeah, you put it in there.
I see. I absolutely see that you came in here.
It was marvelous.
Yes, okay, it was okay. If you're okay, I just want to make sure you
was
okay.
It was good. It was good for me. I hope it was good for you. It was good for me. Okay.
It was good for
you.
Okay. Jonesy's like, I'm dripping wherever I go now. That's it.
Hey, I ain't mad at him.
Great poem, Jonesy. Great poem. Jonesy, you there?
Hey, hello?
Yeah, listen, but you and Trey, I'm going to send y'all to the corner, man. I cut that out. All right. Yeah. You and Trey, man, I swear. All right, I'm going to put you back in the queue. Dope piece. Thank you for coming. Thank you for blessing us. We appreciate that. All right, we're going to move on. Hold on for a second. We're going to go to area code 770. Area code 770, who master speaking?
Peace and blessings. It is.
Hey!
Afro Queen. Hey, what's up, twin?
Hey, 2020 twin, what's going on? Hey, assist. Yeah, you know, it's really bad that I still don't know how to read numbers. This is bad. I had no idea. Anyway, meet my sister, meet my twin. Fasiwe, Hassan Muhammad.
I want to say this is an honor for me, too, because in actuality, I feel blessed that we've met already through Clubhouse. And one day I was reading and she gave me some wonderful feedback. So I just want to say thanks, sis, for that affirmation and support and encouragement, because that's the type of thing that definitely feeds me. And I appreciate as well your work. And when you were talking earlier about the battle that we sometimes go through with our own self-confidence and our own inner critic, I was definitely resonating with that and really appreciate just being able to connect on that level as well. So it's an honor for me to learn from you today.
Thank you for showing up. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm torn between what piece to write because you've taken me two different places today so far that resonated with me, but I think I'm going to go with this piece here. The irony of relationship with cotton fields and chance. Floating down I-75 to Savannah in a perfect little cotton sundress, whooshing past them, something dull thumped behind the mind, the wretched pale memory of crouching between the rows of prickly clouds whose comfort now sings from TV screens, coveted against skin that no longer rips and bleeds. Could this art be seen through 18th century black girl eyes, not whooshing past, trapped in cotton? Fast forward to a sunny now, cruising, not chased, except by wailing whispers. Through a lovely south, shrouded by the defamed ghost of its past, horror opaque over the cozy streets, among the charming stores, about the old shack and plantation homes, silent, terror-stricken, sense memory muted, dull something behind the mind like soft fists against the voids, breaths stolen by the beautiful ugly of those trees, bent perhaps by the weight of the witness they've been forced to bear. As the boughs sway, jazzily dissonant, is that shame? That contraction and release, spasming the extension of pointing limbs, is that sorrow? That hunch? Is that ballet of theirs the visceral sobbing of ancient wood, a shaking off of blood? Don't the whispers of a thousand leaves shush loudly enough to hush gargled last breaths dangling from branches inside cocoons of murder, butterflying up, up, up into fluttering sides of death ripped open, the kind that must bounce, jerk, kick its way free the clutches of hatred here in the 21st century, doing 55 miles per hour out of a daydream? As the irony of relationship with cotton fields and chance, floating down I-75 to Savannah in a perfect little cotton sundress. That's my piece.
Okay.
Yeah, I love you.
Yeah.
Dope. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, sis.
Thank you for the space and time. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you always. Yeah, the poetry tonight is just so deep, heartfelt, spiritual. I'm going to put you back in the queue, and I'm going to move forward. All right, so just stick around. All right. We're going to go to area code 410. I believe this might be Lisa Lips. Is this Lisa Lips?
It is me.
Yes, I read a number right just this one time. All right, do you have anything to say to Hesna? Because we're going to let you finish, and then we're going to go back to Hesna. All right, so go ahead. You were saying, did you have something you want to say?
I'm just honored to be a part of this and to be here in this room with you and to hear the words that you speak and the power with which you bring your pieces is amazing, and I just thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you.
And I did bring a piece tonight. It's actually an older piece that I wrote in 2006. It's called 100 Days. On April 10th, 2015, I heard a statistic that was almost astounding. It said that 290 men have died in police custody in this calendar year to date. 290 black men in 100 days. The origins of 290 families gone in 100 days. I, as a woman who loves black men, can imagine how slave women felt when they sent their men out early in the morning, not knowing if they would return. Because the truth is, every time one of our men steps out into the world, it's open season. And every cop has a license to shoot. And there's no bag limit. And nothing is off limit. You can go down at 12 for being alone in the park with a water gun. Police sent in as a courtesy can shoot and kill a 79-year-old man who is only 1 week home from heart surgery because they came in his back door uninvited and he had the nerve to try and defend his property. But if you are a criminal with alabaster skin, you can shoot to kill an entire theater, rig your own home with explosives so that when the cops come for you, you kill them all, and yet and still you are led away in handcuffs. So don't tell me that the hue of my flesh doesn't matter, because even a blind man can see that 290 black men dead in 100 days ain't no coincidence. And that's that piece.
Powerful. Powerful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whew. Wow.
Serious business over here.
Amazing.
Serious business. Serious business. I think, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm just leave everybody's mics open so we can comment in real time so that we can talk and respond. Van, did For Real say that he was on the plantation yet, or do I?
Yeah, he said he was on his way to the plantation.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so. All right, so then I'm going to go to area code 510. Area code 510, welcome to Class Speak. And our feature tonight is Hasna Muhammad. Who may I ask is speaking?
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm speaking to Edward Burke, for the name King John's out of Grenada, Caribbean out. Soon?
Me Caribbean Breda.
Yes, sir, yeah. Yes.
Breda,
oh, do you
Burks
have a comment for?
Okay.
Oh, Ed Burks. Oh, man. Oh, my bad, my bad. So, Ed Burks, do you have a piece for us this evening?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to me speak three birds. Flying into the fast blue sky. A Caribbean woman, a great beauty, another woman that loves life. You love your long dreadlocks, like your sister. You're crazy on feminine, sweet grace. You're confident, sexist pro. You're melanic, African tea. You're poetry in a perpetual motion. Me queen who's beautiful and true. One who burns incense in a prayer. One who speaks jajas on the truth. You speak Haitian, Creole, Jamaican, Caribbean, Patois. You have the works of Langston Hughes by lying quietly in a rock. You wear sweet body oils, oils that sensually sweet. Your scent that makes love to me sensitive. Your scent that stays on the truth. You see your Caribbean grace, your pleasant spiritual vibe, your dark natural inner beauty, your sexy light brown eyes. And I'm on the tour of the lavender sky, the face of beautiful sunrise, to feel the warmth touch me face, to feel the ancient sun shining face. You feel your summer breeze, man. Your soft lips of sweet red wine, your tender taste of the kiss, spiritually levitate on thy mind. Amen. Big respect, Rastafari, see?
Respect me, brethren, respect.
Respect. Respect, respect.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Dynamic piece.
All right, so
always.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so we're going to return to Hesna once again. Are you ready for another piece, Hesna?
I am, and I know. Are we finishing at 11 or?
We can go into overtime. We could definitely go into overtime. So you know.
Okay. All right.
We're here as long as you want to be here. You have what?
Oh, I have three more pieces, and I could just,
okay.
You know, cut it down or however you want. So I'll just go to the next one. And again, the image is on Twitter, Birthmark One. And this piece is about the day of after my father passed away February 4th in 2005. And on February 14th, that was the day he was cremated. It was the fifth of eight celebrations of his life. And two of them were included the mixing and subsequent burial of both my parents' ashes. But that image is the image that morning, him going into the crematorium. Well, the service prior to the crematorium. Called This Quiet Good Morning. It is more than quiet than usual this morning, peaceful and serene. I have awakened without an alarm. I did not hear the traffic outside. I did not hear the hum of the house or the distraction of any other thing. I listened to my heartbeat and watched the darkness, a calmness, stillness, pause is present, and I know it is Daddy telling me that he is ready for us to let him go. I could tell when we closed the casket for the last time that he wants us to get on with it, to get rid of his body so he can move on to his waiting place. He has come to say goodbye to me this morning, to let me know that he loves me and I will be okay. And I know. Without words, I tell him that I love him too and that I believe him. The tears come. I smile, get out of bed, put on my robe and sit at my dining room table to write before the rest of the world is awakened in me, just like Daddy used to do. His was the voice that told me to get up this morning, get up and write. I've heard that voice before, but I've rarely listened I've taken for granted that I could do it later, get up later, write later. Today, a day that my heart still aches, a day that we say another goodbye. I follow his voice of, good morning, baby, as my mind's eye sees him writing at his dining room table, wearing his red and black robe and pushing the trunk of a number two pencil across a yellow legal pad. He has brought me this morning to this practice, to this precipice, so I can write. He is whispering without talking, pushing without touching, guiding without leading me to activate my voice and put it down on paper. So I sit, awakened by the quiet, propelled by Daddy's belief in me, as if he has given me an assignment, as if now all the work must begin. I accept his hug from memory and begin to write this page. His presence comforts me. I am not and have not been afraid. I am calm and focused because I know my daddy loves me and I know that everything will be okay. I smile again and welcome tears of beginnings. I think that daddy will come to each of us this morning. He will offer his support anytime we need it. He will empower us with his advice whenever we ask. He will wrap us up in his love every moment that we falter and remind us to live, to work, and to family, always from a place of grace. Oh, what a quiet good morning. The light of day has come into the room. The house is awakening, and I am ready. Today is a new day. It's time, past time, to finish this piece and make some noise. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Simply amazing.
That was deep.
Wow.
And so beautiful.
Wow. Moving.
Very touching. Good job.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Anybody have any flowers in particular for Hesna? Okay. We're gonna move forward.
I feel so peaceful. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go
ahead.
No, I was just saying that I feel so peaceful when you read, sis. And it feels as if your poem, your writing is so assured by the time you finish the piece. I can't speak for how emotionally you start, but the pieces just feel very grounded in genuine emotion, and it's very soothing, very soothing.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, you carry the emotion of the time, you know, if anyone has ever lost a parent or any other loved one, you know, there is such a tumultuous time of grief and angst and anguish, but at least for me, there does come this peace because there is a beauty in the transition. Just another layer of life, you know, just another dimension. And you come to, again, for me, you come to understand it. I don't know if it'll always be that way. And there are folks who lose people unexpectedly. Well, I lost daddy. We lost daddy unexpectedly. But eventually, I believe that the peace will come. The peace comes.
Okay, so Hesna, can you read us another piece? No, go ahead. Please finish, but I just wanted to get Hesna set up to read another piece while we're at it. But go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was resonating with the memory and the presence of our fathers still being with us and speaking to us in different moments. When you talked about, you know, ways in which you saw your father doing certain things in his robe, writing, it just really came to me how often I see my dad doing things. My father was always writing, always reading, always writing.
Mm.
So, you know, that kind of thing, and having his voice and his presence say things to me at different times when I feel, when I need him to encourage me.
Yeah. Yeah, they show up when we need them. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Mojave, I would like to read one now. It's a shorter one. And again, there's an image at Birthmark Media One on Twitter called Turning on the Lights. The house became a nursing station when you got sick. Everything was poised to cause your ease. I could not look at your wound as I helped you bathe and change your clothes. Your audible pain closed my throat and dropped like wet clay onto my heart. We both slept downstairs because your movement was more bearable on the couch, and I wanted to be able to see you and hear you just in case. Now you rest downstairs while I turn on the lights upstairs in my chambers. The lights have been out for the past 8 days, since the time my life spilled and your life took over. Now your blood is returning, your body unfolding. Now I pick up, untangle, move back my life where I left it, without all of this, and I turn on all my lights. As I sit in the chair near the window of my room, my breath leaves my face on a sigh that travels down the stairs, brushes past your cheek, and becomes a part of the nighttime sky. Thank you.
My God, that
beautiful.
Was beautiful. Oh, my
very
goodness.
Beautiful. Very beautiful.
Jeez.
Thank you. Thank you.
The visual, that was wonderful.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to bring in Alexandria. Are you there?
Hello. I just wanted to say your piece about your father that resonated with me a lot. I lost my dad 10 years ago. In April, 10 days before his 40th birthday, he would have been 50 this year. So that definitely resonated with me, and I thank you for sharing that.
Sorry for your loss.
Oh, it's okay, thank you. And then sorry for yours as well. The piece I'm going to do is called Generations. I think some people have heard this, but... They say our generation has a problem with commitment, just for us to argue that we'd rather not settle. We look to the older generation as hashtag goals, but yet they settled. We were raised in broken homes by broken people, being taught broken rules and how to love ourselves, and then they wonder why we don't have our shit together. Wondering why more and more of our little black boys and girls are constantly battling with mental health, all because they can't say, I need help, but only because the concept of receiving help is seen as a sign of weakness. And who are you to look your father, Superman, and my mother, Wonder Woman, in the eye and be weak? Hush. Don't say it out loud, it'll become your reality. Shh. Don't cry, wipe your eyes, smile. You can trick yourself into being happy. Shut up. What happens in this house stays in this house, and if I find out you're talking about it, I smack the fucking taste out your mouth. And they expect us to be okay.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, oh, hello.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Hey, oh, hello. All right.
Wow. Amazing as well.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Heavy.
Thank
you. Thank you for your vulnerability. Alexandria, thank you.
No, thank you.
We're going to move on to, everybody listening, if you're within the sound of my voice, we are officially in overtime. That means we have officially stopped streaming. So if certain people, if you found out that your phone stopped, you know, you stopped hearing the broadcast, Block Talk Lady stopped streaming at 11 o'clock. But we continue to podcast until we are actually done with our feature and the people who are here. So, therefore, we're going to go to area code 903 and find out who that is. Area code 903, who may I be speaking?
Yes, sir. This is Little Gary from East Texas. I didn't make the show, but I made first place on the end. That's a win for me.
What's up, Little Gary?
Little Gary.
What's happening, Little Gary?
Hey, what's up, y'all, man? I'm the winner at the end. You know, after the first place and third went through, I'm that sucker still flipping out there. And, you know, came in, ooh, yeah, he wins. Last place, like first and last. That's me. I might not win, but I might devise a way to trip your ass on the way to you winning. I'm just trying to get up into place and not last.
Bro.
Oh, it never fails.
Oh, my God.
Man, I hope all is well with y'all.
All is well, man.
Same,
how you doing?
Same.
All is well.
I seen y'all had some kind of famous lady on there, so I figured I'd call in and throw my name in the pot. See, hell, maybe she'll tell somebody about me. She got in the door. Hell, maybe she can open the window.
There you go. That's our brother, Lil Gary. You got to love him.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I'm glad to be here, regardless. They'll say, man, you got to see the after show, man. That damn Lil Gary, he should have made the show next week. He will.
That's right. We believe in you always.
Always glad to have you, Gary.
Absolutely. I looked up the lady that you have on your show, man. It's very impressive, the things. And I feel that anybody that wants to make it, you know, big or anything, they have a message for people to help people and stuff. And she on that big microphone getting the message out, trying to help people, you know. I'm down here hollering at the bottom of the ladder, hey, y'all, let me in. So, man, I feel that, and it's much respect, and I know it's a lot of work, and people are proud of you, and that's awesome, you know. That's what we all strive to do is help our family, make them proud of us, and help people that deserve to be helped. That's what's up.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. So I wish I knew you, ma'am. Hell, I wish we were kin, and we loaned each other money, man. I promise I'll pay you back. I'd rather owe you till the day I die than screw you out of it. That's my motto.
Well,
all right, Gary.
We all right,
Gary.
Right?
And, right. And I brought right, a good Gary. Piece to help you remember me.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do the piece, Gary. Let's do the piece.
Absolutely. This is by Little Gary in East Texas, huh? I call this fire. I smoke when I write. Yeah, my words are like fire. That's why every time that you read them, they sound like they're being sung by a choir. I'm the king of these poems, y'all see, so you can call me your sire. So if you're ever out looking for a good one, you better know that Little Gary's your one and only supplier. But when it comes to love, I guess y'all can call me your crier. Hell, and my money so low that my pockets couldn't be any more drier. And that's why, my friends, I'd sell this writing to anyone, even the National Enquirer. Hell, everything I write is for real, with only a 50% chance that it comes from a liar. I'm trying to stay straight, even though my life is so dark and so dire. Maybe it's because every day I'm having to wipe them haters off, just like I'm a two-plier. I even got Creed saying they can't even take my ass higher. Sorry, y'all and mama. Little Gary's a flyer. I'm always down for my girl, though, just like a trailer park's car's tire, because she gives me all that I need and my heart's every desire. And so when I come home, it's always a point with a bundle of flyers, making her throw my ass down so she can love me for hours. And y'all better know that when she does, shit, I'm killing everything just like I was Michael Dan Myers. I want to be the kind of writer, though, that others admire. Or at least that's what I hope and aspire. But so far, y'all, shit, I may never retire. I guess that's just the life of a great poet, because you only get noticed when you finally expire. So listen up, everybody and publishers, because you should be a damn buyer. How could little Gary be someone that you shouldn't hire? Shit, it's past time to get me and my family up out of this shire. So I ain't stopping until every time that you see smoke in the distance, you think about little Gary sitting there at his desk writing that fire endpoint.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Little Gary. Love it, little Gary.
Yes.
I hope I didn't burn y'all up.
Mahavi?
No, yeah. We good.
I ain't heard muted yet, so I know damn well I can still say something.
No, you can. Not you,
Bob. You are good.
You're perfectly well, brother.
Hell yeah. I always recommend a towel. Sometimes when I get through reading stuff, just get a towel and lay there and look up for a minute and then get up and go about your damn day.
Good advice.
Mahavi, if you're there, you are still muted.
Mahavi, you're muted.
Yeah, oh, crap. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's terrible. I'm like talking crazy. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, everybody's talking, like, I'm thinking that people can hear me talking because everybody's responding. So I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, y'all be catching me. Yes, I was on mute. I was on mute. Area code 506. Thank you for spending a conversation.
Hi, it's Lady A.
Appreciate you. Hey, Lady A, how are you doing?
Hey, Lady A.
How's everyone?
We happy to be
good.
In front.
How
are
you
Thank
doing?
You
blessed.
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. I am listening to the show. It's some great poetry, that's for sure. Little Gary's always one to put a smile on your face, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I wrote something a couple of weeks ago because I feel sometimes discouraged at the condition of the world. And I grew up in a time when I was very young, early teens, when Martin Luther King was at his best, and I always felt that the world would be a better place because of him. So I wrote this piece because, you'll see when I read it. But a dream is a state of mind characterized by abstraction and released from reality. He had a dream. He tried to release from reality. We believed him. We believed it could be done. The dream could come true, a utopia of love, nirvana. I believed it would be achieved, could be achieved. We wanted better. We needed better. Dream, we were told. We altered our state of mind to enhance the dream. We made love, protested war, came together black and white. We were family, Asian, indigenous, and everyone in between. We were paradise. We were a revolution of love. He had a dream. I believed I saw it just inches from fruition. Excitement flowed, joy worn on all faces. Music sang the dream. He was God's messenger, his soldier, a savior too. There was hope. Yes, excitement flowed. And then his blood flowed. The war was over. Men came home to nothing. Soldiers still do. Blood is shed for nothing. Lives are lost for nothing. And don't speak to me about patriotism and fighting for your country. Your country turned its back on them when they all came home. Bullshit. War is bullshit, and young men and women are paying with their lives, their minds, and with broken bodies. Where is the dream for them? Where is the dream? Nothing has been learned, nothing. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Martin Luther King, Jr. It is utter darkness. Love is gone. It caught the last train out like the song. Hate prevails, prejudice. White on black, black on white, Asians, indigenous, people of all nations, one against the other. Hate lives. It has destroyed the dream. And peace.
Wow.
That's beautiful, Lady A. Mm-hmm.
Very nice,
beautiful.
Lady A.
Wow.
Very,
very thank you, Lady A.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lady A, for coming through. We appreciate you. Make it happy to see you in a minute. Welcome back. And we're going to return back to Hesna. Are you ready?
Yes, I am. This is the last one that I've chosen for tonight. And again, there's an image on Birthmark Media One on Twitter. And it's called, it's dedicated to Sonia Sanchez. And it's called Taking Sister Sonia's Smile. I spoke to Sister Sonia yesterday, and she told me stories about losing track of time when she writes. She recalled doing children after work until 9, grading papers until midnight, writing until 3, waking at 6 to start children and be on time to an 8:40 class. How did she do it? Couldn't do it now. That's why young people have children. We laughed. There is no excuse for lateness, she said. There is no excuse for not getting done, not if it's really there in the first place. So true. Silently, I wondered if I really have it in the first place, this ability to translate divine messages into metaphors as she does. I did not confess my wave of self-doubt to Sister Sonia. Instead, we talked about visiting the Lynching Memorial and Museum, where we both knew that we would feel the presence of soldiers who met the blows of persistent violent terror against our people and died not as the rotten fruit or body crisps pictured in the postcards, but as somebody's child, somebody's mother, just trying to go to work or get home after church. We knew that we would write about what surely would silence us, make us hold each other up, birth tears, and howl to our ancestors. We are here. We came for you. We are mourning and remembering you. Anger would be there, with forgiveness lurking nearby, just in case either of us was ready to let grace stop at our feet and seep in. We calmed ourselves and talked instead about Sister Sonia letting me take her portrait a few weeks later in the basement of the Schomburg, once the American Negro Theater. When there, we absorbed the history of our familiar Harlem home through our skin, and then I took Sister Sonia's photograph. From behind my camera, I told her to think of the warmth of the sun, ocean breezes, the smile of the horizon. I told Sister Sonia to bring from her inner core, through her uterus, up her chakras, to the top of her head, all of who she is. With eyes closed, keeping in and keeping out, Sister Sonia felt soil beneath her bare feet and inhaled the miracle of the sky, embraced the sun, and smiled that smile. Soft lips covered the daggers in her teeth, encased the special places she remembers, the people who she has loved, time she has spent, words she has revealed. Then, with clouds plucked from her blue sky, Sister Sonia stopped up all that is good and sent it to my eye. Thank you, my dear sister, Mother Sonia. Thank you for entrusting me with your smile. I know a time will come for us to touch the Alabama soil and lift the voices there. Thank you. And her birthday is Thursday. I think she'll be 83 or 4. Thank you.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
Beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And I've had the distinct pleasure of meeting Sonia Sanchez multiple times, as well as I used to have a personal number before I dropped my wallet in water when she was at Temple. My aunt received her doctorate from Temple, and so not only did we bring her to the university where we were at, we met with her multiple times, and that was actually pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
And it was during Homegirls and Hand Grenades. When she had just dropped that book. This is one of my favorite books, by the way. Well.
She's going to be 87.
Wow.
On Thursday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you, well, tonight has been a very special night for me. I hope it's been a special night for others. You guys, I left your mics open so you can chime in. Your sister is still here with us, Hesna, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't want to talk.
She's always with me. Even when she's not, she's with me. Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to talk. don't open my mic. She's like, don't open my mic. I was like, okay, I got you. But I want to thank you. I really want to thank you for coming here and blessing us and blessing the Epiphany Radio Universe with your presence and your poetry. And I love the fact that you coordinated your poems with your Twitter account. I'm going to steal that from you. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yes, even
that. That's definitely a stolen thing. But also I want to thank everybody who came and supported and helped surround you with a great and positive energy, beautiful people, family, I like to call them, and everybody sharing their amazing pieces and coming here and really spending the time with us and rocking out and really hearing your amazing poetry. Thank you.
Thank you. And my sister, thank you, too. We roll as a family. You might just see me or hear me, but there's a whole bunch of folks surrounding me with their arms all around me as I have my arms around them. And you guys,
that's
community and a great show and initiative. And thank you so much for inviting me. I had a lot of fun. It was good. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. As a matter of fact, while we're here, Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in Epiphany Radio Universe for the rest of the week?
Absolutely. It'll be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night, we will have a special show. Some of you may know about it. It's called Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. It's making a special appearance on Thursday. Friday night's going to be Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night's going to be The Pearl and Negra and Stan the Man Phillips and Poetic Therapy, y'all. Sunday night is going to be the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is going to be the Soul Cafe with your host, For Real, the poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, the CEO himself, La Pearl, La Negra, Essentially Janice on the event page, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for one of Mojave's shows. We'll just pick one.
War Council.
War Council it is. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mojave, back to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Ben Meadows, for that amazing rundown of the installments of 50 Radio Universe.
My pleasure.
We had to stop doing that. Anyway, I'm sorry. We really goof off a lot around here. We're just being serious today. We're being serious. We goof off a lot. Like we're a bunch of chuckleheads. You got to catch us on the right day. Like I routinely go over to the Love Zone and act a whole fool. Without fail.
Just the Love Zone? Oh, okay.
I'm not just saying. Listen, you didn't have to. I saw the bus pull up. You didn't have to push me in front of you. You didn't have to do it. I was already confessing my own chuckleheadedness. But no, you had to help me out. Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
I got you covered.
I know you do. You absolutely do, sir. You absolutely do. I'm sorry, Hester, but no, we really goof off a lot. Like if you, we have a general healthy respect of each other, so we talk back to each other all the time. But that's besides the thing. That's what you do, right? I'm sincerely thankful for you coming through. Like thank you. Like I don't know how to tell you. Just thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you too. I enjoyed myself really.
I was like, wow. Yeah, amazing. And
thanks.
More to come. More to come. I can't wait to get started doing my open mic thing back again. Well, you know, besides behind the thing, but I mean the Urban Gorilla Theater thing, because I definitely will have you come.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I shall be there. It's a date.
Thank you
I
very much. All right. So for everybody else, thank you. For everybody else, thank you for everybody coming out. Thank you for everybody participating. Thank you, Angel Kim, Danielle, Van Meadows, Sir Lawrence. Thank you, Sis, for Seaway 2022. Thank you, Lisa Lips. Thank you, For Real the Poet. Thank you, Lisa Lady A. Thank you for everybody who is participating and listening right now that are with us that, you know, are just stuck around and hung out and enjoyed the show. We appreciate you. Be safe. Wash hands, be, you know, anything else. COVID is still a thing. COVID is still a thing. All right. Please do not sleep on it. One of my peoples just came down with it and had a fever for 3 days. And they were like, I understand how this can kill people, because they was like, I've never felt anything like this before. So, you know, if you know that you're not of the vaccinated set, wear a mask. For everything, wash your hands, do everything else. It is out here. It is getting people. One of our peoples, Tavares, he lost a friend of 35 years. Make sure it's important. You know, protect yourself and you protect others. You know, make sure everything else is going on. And this is not a PSA. I'm just saying in general. You know, because there's certain things we do have to worry about, and that's something that's just offhand that can get us. And so, but I want to thank all the people for their wonderful poetry coming through tonight. I want to thank this network for allowing me to be my creative self and allowing me to just do whatever podcast comes to mind. He's like, oh, you know, oh boy, this is bad. So what you do? What? How many podcasts is it now, Bobby? I don't know. What are we doing this Tuesday? I don't know. I said, we just know fly speak. Fly speak is first Tuesday. That's the only thing we know. Everything else, oh, what you going to do? Oh, I'm just Black Love Matters, Black Money Matters, Kick Game, Christmas my famous holiday show. I have a holiday show, right? And the holiday show is called Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever. That's the name of the show. That's the name of the show. Literally.
That's the name of the show. Mahavi, it's evolved since you did it. The name has evolved.
Okay.
What is it now?
It's Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Thanksgiving, Happy New Year.
All of them.
It's a big holiday show. Like, and I don't care what the holiday is. I don't care what the holiday is. We're just gonna throw all the holidays in there. I was like, I'm sick of everybody. We got to do a holiday show for this. I was like, nah, we do all the holidays in one. I don't care. And so it's the joke that never ends because I really do it every year and I don't care. And I tell people all the time. I say, yeah, Christmas kind of whatever. And it's not even a disrespect to the holidays. It's just a lot of holidays to celebrate in one good time. So that's what we call it. And so, you know,
we do that in our family, but we call it the everybody's everything holiday.
That's cool.
Everybody's everything holiday. The birthdays, everything.
I wish I had thought of that first, you know. Although I do know, so Van should know this, is that I was talking to Paul Kane, and we have to have another Marvel versus DC segment. We gotta trot out the nerdery. The nerdery gotta get trotted out. But I got a new one for the new year. Right? It's Star Wars versus Star Trek. That's the new one. We're gonna do that.
I'm in.
Definitely. Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Trekkies versus the the Jedi. So, you know, that's what we're gonna have to have.
Cool. I like that.
So it's gonna be because people forget, you know. You know, most of us are. Do not start that.
That's an inside joke, y'all.
See, this is what I'm saying. When I say we goof off,
I was wondering when this was gonna happen because y'all were mighty quiet today.
We were being serious today. We were being so
very
serious.
Tame.
We were being so serious today.
We're making Black History today. That's why.
We got a very
important figure in Black History with us today, and this is such an honor to have you a part of Epiphany tonight. And I look forward conversing with you again, having you on here again. This is awesome. I'm glad you got her here, Hav.
Me too.
I know. But Heston's been in Honey River Room. She's been in her room. You know, she's seen us. But that's like erotic stuff.
Got some erotic for you, man.
All right,
She's in the room. She read poems, everything. It's great, but I'm just saying. I don't think she's never seen us like full on goof off. Like people don't even know that we goof off the way we do, unless they come to the podcast and then they say, oh, no, they really be goofing off over here, you know. So I don't know. It's just fun stuff. Yeah, he's been cutting up. We was cutting up last Tuesday. We was cutting a whole fool. Like I listened to it. I said, nobody will ever take us serious. Nobody will ever take us serious. Ever. Anyway, listen, we're gonna go. Thank you, Hesna, once again. Thank you, everybody who came out.
Welcome.
We're going to end.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody.
No, thank you so much.
Make sure you check out everything on your event page. Make sure you go to the Twitter, Birthmark Media 1. See the corresponding pictures for everything else and follow Birthmark Media. I mean, if you want to see someone with an eye and taking a camera and a picture, not just the, you know, the whole, like, it's just amazing. You just got to go see. Go there, go to the Instagram, check everything out. Amazing.
Thank you.
Really.
And go to the website
amazing.
Once that short about Kenneth Chamberlain. That's
yes.
Deep. See that? Yeah. That's
absolutely.
How you
absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. So we're going to end the
okay.
episode in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a good evening.